Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Pastor Joel Sickler, and I trust that you'll be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
In the little town of Nicholson, Pennsylvania, there's a railroad bridge that dominates the town, towering between two hills like an ancient Roman viaduct that the locals all refer to as the Nicholson Bridge. It's an impressive structure standing 240 feet above a small stream that runs through the valley, with 12 symmetrical arches stretching 2,375 feet from one hillside to the other. Built back in the early 1900s, the bridge was quite an impressive feat of engineering and back-breaking work, and stories were told of the 500 men that worked round the clock for about 3 years with a few steam shovels and dynamite to dig down as deep in some places as 60 feet before they found bedrock for their foundations. But today, almost 110 years later, the bridge is still standing and used to carry the immense weight of freight trains over the valley. You know, I think it stands as a testament to the construction skill and the design of the team that built it, making sure that they grounded it on a firm foundation. You know, when you build any structure, it's important to make sure that the foundation will be adequate to stand the test of time. So with this in mind, I hope you'll be able to stay with us for today's program, as we consider the foundation of the church and how the church works as the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Through my disappointment, strife, and discontentment, I cast my every care upon the Lord. No matter what obsession, pain, or deep depression, I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from every storm that rages, rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock.
Now I'm pressing onward, each step leads me homeward. I'm trusting in my Savior day by day. And close is our relation, sure is its foundation. So on this solid rock I'll stay.
I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from every storm that rages, rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Even though he's gone now, I don't feel alone now. With comfort came the Spirit of the Lord. Now with his word to guide me, from temptation hide me, I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing of ages, safe from every storm that rages, rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock.
Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock.
That was a men's quartet from God's Bible School with the song Standing on the Solid Rock. Let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning and take our concerns to Him. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful this morning that You are that solid rock, one upon whom we can build our lives and be sure that it will stand firm. Thank You, Lord, that You give us the strength, the help, that Your presence is with us each and every day. Lord, You see the listener this morning. You see the things that concern them, the things that they're going through right now. And I pray that they would find You to be their source of strength and help even now. Lord, for this broadcast this morning, I pray that You would guide and direct, accomplish Your will in each part. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This program is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, I invite you to join us each Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock p.m. for an evening worship service. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock. I hope you'll be able to join us in person for our services, but if not, you can always go to LebanonGMC.com, where you can watch live broadcast of our services, find out about upcoming events, and even share prayer requests with us. That's LebanonGMC.com. Today we're going to air the second part of a message by Pastor Curtis Going on the church as the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're breaking in as he talks about the foundations of the church. Here's Pastor Going.
I remember when I was in Bible college, Brother Larry Smith used to say in his deep voice, he would say, there are no lone rangers in the kingdom of God. It's not just Jesus and me. It's Jesus and me and His church, made up of the fellowship of other living stones. It's Jesus and it's me and it's you. And each of us who name the name of Christ must be built into the fabric of the church. We're connected to one another. We're building up the temple of the Lord. Now, I also want you to notice in verse 21 that there's an important word there. It's an adjective that's used to describe the church, and that's the word holy. Now, we understand that the God that we serve is a holy God. And Jesus went to great lengths to make it possible for us to be holy people. And so God will only live in a holy place among holy people. And the church of God has been established on this foundation of the apostles and the prophets and Jesus, the chief cornerstone. It has been built and established to be a holy church. And this is where the picture of God's church as a temple gets interesting to me. Because God wants to dwell in His church collectively, and we're living stones being fitly framed together, but we also understand that every individual stone, every individual believer is a temple where the Holy Spirit dwells. And there's a very real sense in which the holiness of the church collectively depends on the holiness of God's people individually. Remember what Paul wrote to the Corinthians? He said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? For ye are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, he said, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We Christians are little temples making up the big temple. Just as surely as God was with the Israelites in the wilderness, just as surely as He was in Solomon's temple, God Himself, in the person of the Holy Spirit, dwells in the body of every genuine believer. He wants to indwell you, and He also wants to infill you. And if the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, He will empower you and enable you to be a holy temple. Individual holy temples making up a collective holy temple. Now, before conversion, You were a slave of Satan. If you don't know Jesus this morning, then I can tell you on the authority of God's word, sin has dominion over you. And you live in darkness and spiritual blindness. But the good news is that Jesus shed his precious blood on Calvary's cross, and he bought you back from the enemy, and he'll set you free by grace through faith, and because of all that's been done for you, because you've been purchased at the price of the blood of Jesus, the rich, royal, supreme blood of Jesus, because you've been bought with that price, you are not your own. And as a child of God, you belong to him. When he saved you, his spirit came to live inside of you. And because you belong to him, because he bought you, because he has indwelled you, then you have some obligations. Paul said, know you not, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're not your own. And then he says, therefore. And that's where we straighten up. We say, what's he about to say? What are we supposed to do? He said, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. When I ask you this morning, if you name the name of Jesus in your life, if you claim to be a part of his church, are you keeping his temple clean? Are you living as if you belong to God? Does the way that you live your life and the words that you speak and the attitudes that you show and the thoughts that you think and the things that you do, is your life showing that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? You know, ultimately, whatever is inside of you, that's what's going to come out. Dennis Kinlaw told about a speaker who stood before this congregation with a glass of water in his hand, and the speaker asked somebody to come up and shake his arm. And of course, when the speaker's arm was shaken, you know what happened. Water spilled all over the room, all over the platform. It didn't go that far, just the platform. The speaker asked the crowd, he said, why did the water spill? Everybody answered the obvious. Well, it's because the speaker's arm was shaken. He asked the question with a bit of emphasis. He said, why did the water spill? People caught on. They said, because water is what was in the glass. And Kinlaw went on to explain that what spilled out of the glass was not determined by the shaking, but it was determined by what filled the glass. If the speaker held a glass of milk and his arm got shaken, it would have been milk that spilled. If it was juice, it would have been juice. And what's inside of you, what's inside your temple, is what will spill out when you're shaked by the things of life. The spiritual life of the church collectively is largely determined in the local church by the spiritual life of its people individually. I want to say to us this morning, this church or any church can only be as strong spiritually as we are in our individual lives. If we want to be a church that's truly a holy temple in the Lord, then all of us bear some personal responsibility. We who make up this temple, we've got to be genuine in our walk with God. If your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, that'll have some definite, specific implications in how you live your life. Samuel Logan Bringle said, the whole body is to be given to the Lord. It's to be kept and used for him. And if our bodies are his, and if they're the temple of the Holy Spirit, then no sexual impurity is to be allowed. He said, no unclean habit to be indulged, no fleshly appetite to be permitted to control you, but the whole body is kept under discipline and under control and made the servant of the soul. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and so we pray, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary fit for the Holy Spirit's presence. Isn't it beautiful to think of this spiritual construction, all of these living stones, individual believers making up this temple? I know sometimes God's visible church doesn't always seem so great because it's made up of people. Did you know that people are people wherever there are people to be found? Isn't that a profound statement? People are people. And if we live around the church our whole lives, we'll see the flaws or the imperfections of God's visible church. Sometimes there's real hypocrisy. Just this past week, I think it was, it became public knowledge. Fairly well-known preacher, respected Bible teacher in some circles, had been involved in some kind of inappropriate relationship. And again, the reputation of God's visible church is marred, and the Spirit of God is grieved. But I want to say this to us. We're living in a time when it's very popular to deconstruct the faith, to walk away from the church. But when we're tempted to lose our love for God's church because of its people, I just want to remind you again, people are people wherever there are people to be found. People are flawed. People are prone to error. Nobody is above failure. And so people is not where we keep our focus. We keep our eyes on the cornerstone. Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the captain of our salvation. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the object of our true devotion. And even though we could look across the centuries and see times and places when the glory of God's church has been tarnished, you can resolve by God's grace, whatever others do, I'm going to be a genuine spirit-filled temple. I'm going to be a Christian, and I'm going to do what I ought to do in my spirit and my attitude, and I'm going to maintain my commitment to be a living stone that makes up God's temple. So there's this solid foundation, the apostles and the prophets, Jesus being the chief cornerstone. There's this spiritual construction. All believers are living stones who are making up this temple. But then I want us to notice in verse 22, the sacred habitation. Verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. It's amazing to me to think that God Himself has come down to dwell in the midst of His people. Praise God. Could I suggest this morning we need to get a renewed wonder at the reality that God Himself wants to dwell in our midst. And when He's with us, what a difference it makes. And it's not just a subjective difference in the atmosphere, but a very practical difference. It impacts the life of the church. You know, the Bible tells us some of the things that will be present in a Spirit-filled church. And I've got a list here, and every one of them could be a sermon of its own. We're going to be here till 6 o'clock. Just hold on tight. No, not really. But where the Spirit of God indwells His church, there is fruit and there is evidence that He's there. There is enabling power for the people of God, and they serve Him joyfully and courageously and victoriously. Did you know there's victory for the people of God? Years ago, I think it was Carl Menninger, he wrote a book that it asked the question, whatever happened to sin? I'd like to ask, whatever happened to victory? Aren't you thankful we can have victory over sin and the Spirit's presence in our life can help us to live clean and victorious? Amen. Where the presence of the Spirit is in the church, in the Spirit-filled church, there is generosity. The people are giving people. There is unity. There is a spirit of selfless love and service among the brethren. In the Spirit-filled church, there's boldness to witness the gospel of Jesus. There's commitment to and a love for the clear proclamation of God's word, line upon line, precept upon precept. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's an atmosphere of praise and worship, and it's not hard for people to praise and adore God and worship Him. In the Spirit-filled church, there are songs and hymns and spiritual songs sung in the Spirit. There's a commitment to prayer, seeking God's face. When the Spirit dwells in His temple, there are families and marriages that reflect God's love and families passionate about serving God. And in the Spirit-filled church, there's a bumper crop of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance, self-control. In the Spirit-filled church, those things are flourishing among the people of God. I don't have time to develop it, but in verse 21, there's another adjective that is used to describe the temple. He says this temple is growing. The temple is growing. What does that mean? It's increasing. Does that mean spiritual growth? Or does that mean numerical growth? Well, I'm not exactly sure. But if you asked me, does God want His church to grow spiritually? Or does He want His church to grow numerically? I'd look at you and I'd say yes. He wants the church to grow in every way. This temple is not a static temple. It's a temple the church grows. And He wants souls to be added to the kingdom. And He wants us to grow in our faith. It's a growing temple. God's church is a living organism. And He wants it to grow onward and upward for His glory. Some time ago, I came across a word picture that somebody painted of a Spirit-filled church. And I want to close by sharing it with you this morning. This writer said, "I see a church. Its windows are not stained glass, but the altar is stained with the tears of truly repentant sinners. The steeple may not be an impressive sight as it points toward heaven, but the path Christians must walk to heaven is clearly pointed out by the pastor and the people. People who enter on Sunday morning are, for the most part, far from fashion models. But in God's eyes, they're clothed with the fashions of New Jerusalem, for they're pure in heart." He said, "The church that I see in my mind's eye is very much alive to the needs of the world, but dead to its charms. The church doesn't bury its head in the sand and try to live on some plane outside the world and ignore the needs around it, but its people seek to love like Jesus, and so sinners frequently attend the services." He said, "Sincerity is a key to all the church does. Their worship is centered on Jesus. The pastor is more concerned about communicating scriptural truth than in building impressive, eloquent sermons. His preaching is not for the praise of men, but for the eye of God. The songs of the church are deep and rich, and the people sing with so much understanding that sinners are made hungry for God. The prayers of the people are from the heart, guided by the Spirit. The voice of prayer is led by one, and all others lift as they direct their prayer to the throne of God." He said, "As I enter the church, I see the people, and I listen to the first song, and I wonder what draws the crowd and keeps them coming. But," he said, "soon I sense the presence of God, and this is the striking difference." He said, "I notice one special thing about the whole service, and that is the fact that there is a preoccupation with God. Ordinary faces come alive with the glow of another world. People listen to hear God's voice of instruction and His reproof or correction, and they rejoice that the God of the universe has come to meet with them. Oh, that God would help us to be a temple built up for a habitation of the Spirit of God." God's church, the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're standing on a solid foundation. The apostles, the prophets, Jesus, the chief cornerstone. This building is being constructed. It's growing as the living stones are being added. Praise His name. And the Holy Spirit of God Himself wants to dwell among us and be our life and be our power. Hallelujah. What a privilege to be a part of His church. Would you stand with me this morning? Our Father, we're so thankful that You've given us Jesus. We're thankful that You've given us Your Holy Spirit. We're thankful that You have given us Your church. We're grateful this morning that in a world of so many people who don't know what they believe, people who don't even think it's possible to know what we believe, that we stand on a bedrock foundation of truth that is sure, that is certain. We stand on the rock Christ Jesus, and though all around our souls give way, you are our help and our stay. And we thank you this morning that not only do we have the privilege of fellowship with you, but we have the privilege of fellowship with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I pray that you would help us to love one another and to serve one another and to enter into one another's lives in true, rich Christian fellowship, that we would know the joys of serving God together in the community of the church. Go with us, I pray. Lord, you know if there are those here this morning who are not yet a part of your church, I pray that you would convict them of sin, create within them a desire to be a part of this great temple that you're building up. Lord, may they come to you and confess their sin and commit to turn from their sinful ways and to follow you. And they will find that there is a God who stands with arms outstretched, ready to receive them. Go with us now from this service. Dismiss us not from your presence. Go with us and guide us. Bring us back at the next appointed time, ready to worship you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us for another edition of Missionary Echoes. I trust you have a very blessed week.
When I was just a child, I heard the beautiful story, how you loved me so, you died on Calvary, and though I claimed you way back then as Lord God Almighty, things haven't changed, my love's still the same, you're still Lord to me. Just as before.